get in, sit down, and keep quiet and hold on. That's a sign that I saw somewhere where people were getting on a boat to take a boat ride or whatever it was. And that's the sign that they had there as you got in to the boat. But get in and sit down and be quiet and hold on. And I kind of jotted that little thought down. I thought there would be a good thought out of it sometime or another.
Yes.
And Jesus said here in the 6th chapter of Mark, about the 45th verse, said, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before the city while he went away, while he sent away the people. So you and I, as we start out this boat ride, we'll just call it a boat ride tonight. We're on a, Sister Abbott used to sing, the old ship of Zion is sailing along.
Yes.
And defying the tempest and the storm and going on. So in one sense of a word, we are on a journey. We're all on a journey. Referred to in the Bible sometimes as a race and all, other things, and but we also are sailing along.
Yes.
The old ship of Zion is sailing along, defying the tempest and the storms going on. So you and I this day have a desire to go to heaven. We're going to have to get in. Going to have to get aboard. The first thing you have to do is get in. And I thought you can, that when that boat pulls away from the dock, if you're not in, then you're going to be 1 foot on a dock and 1 foot on a boat, you're going to be in a bad shape. You're going to be in a bad shape like that. So we have to get in. We have to get in. If you're going to serve the Lord and you're going to live for God and you're going to make heaven your home, you've got to get into it. You've got to get into it. You can't serve the Lord. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. You can't serve. The Bible said you cannot serve two masters. You can't be halfway in the boat and halfway out, 1 foot on the land and 1 foot on the boat. Because you, when the boat pulls out, you're going to be in an awful, strenuous situation. And therefore, if you and I, we're going to have to get into this thing. Get into it. I've seen it happen so many times. People try to make a start with God, but they don't really get into the thing. They don't really get into it. They don't really, really get delivered. It's been a kind of a burden of mine all summer long that God is a great deliverer. God's able to deliver to the uttermost.
Amen.
All that will come unto him. And so God has deliverance. God has victory for everybody, whosoever will. Can come and have the victory in the Lord. But we're going to have to get into the thing. Get into it. Put your heart into it. You've got to get your heart into it. Never will we be successful in trying to live for God until our heart is in the thing. We've got to get our heart into it. You can't serve, like I said, two masters. You can't get sweet water and bitter water out of the same fountain. It just don't work that way. And mentioned talking to Brother Harlan a little this afternoon that if you and I are going to live for the God, there's going to come a time. I know God is merciful, and I know that there's a growing period and there's a time to learn and all those kind of things. But nobody will ever be successful in living for God until he has put his heart into it till he decided himself I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. I don't care. We can urge you along, and we do. We dangle folks on our knees, and we pet them, and we pat them, and we bear with them, and we plead with them, and we pray for them, and that has its place and its time also. But that person itself, there's going to come a time when anybody that's going to go with God, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Going to have to be a decision made. Get in. Get into the thing. You've got to get into it. With your whole heart. In the day that you seek me with your whole heart, I'll be found of you, he said. Got to get into it. Got to get into it. Before as long we go along, we just up and down and in and out. Never will be successful like that. Devil's too powerful for that. We have an adversary, the devil. And then seeking whom he may devour. He's like an old, going around like an old wolf trying to seek. Who's he trying to seek? He's trying to seek everybody in the sense, but that ain't who. They tell me an old wolf, when he's seeking out a lamb or a sheep or something other, that he never goes right into the middle of the flock. Never goes right in the middle of the flock. He always goes out and he circles around the outer edge of the flock. What's he looking for? Somebody who's about half in and half out. Somebody just going along, not really having their heart in what they're doing. Not really purpose their heart. I'm going to live for God. Started out for the Lord. I remember when I hadn't been saved but just a few weeks or months or whatever. And Brother McCoy brought a Sunday school lesson and it said over there, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and I found none. Found none. And that struck a chord in my heart. Lord, I consecrate, if I remember right there. Lord, I want to be a man you can count on. I want a man I can count on. I sought for a man to stand in the gap. Lord, I always want to be available. Be available for service. Be available to you. Our whole heart has to get into this thing. We never will be a success. Never will grow. Won't even get away from the shore. We'll still be on the land. The boat said, the sign said, get in. Get in. Standing over there on the dock, you'll never get in. Part in and part out. You'll be left probably falling in the water somewhere or another when the boat pulls away. So we got to get into the thing. Got to put our heart into it. Serving the Lord. I don't even think about when prayer meeting night comes. Or when Sunday night, we hear our preachers talking a lot about people not coming to service on Sunday night. I don't even think about when it comes time to go to service. I don't even consider whether I'm going or whether I'm not going. If I'm not in the bed sick, I go. I go. No matter, and I've got to be pretty sick too. I go anyway. Where would you rather be if you're sick than among the saints? And so, got to get your heart into it. Every time there's a work day, I was always there. Always there. Your heart has to be in serving the Lord. And that word there where Jesus said, take up your cross and deny yourself. What that word means, deny, that word deny there means that I'm leaving the old life that I live. That's what he's asking me to do. To leave the old life that I'm living. Not just deny myself from maybe going somewhere or deny myself of a television and deny myself of drinking something or eating something or, you know, there's a difference in denying yourself than self-denial. There's a difference in that. One of them is you just deny yourself of something. Sometimes we deny ourselves food when we're fasting or something. That's a self-denial. But when Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, he meant to leave the old life that you've been living. That old self-life that you've been living, you leave that all behind. And then what did he say? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. All things had passed away. And I went home saved that night. My wife had a brand new man. Brand new. Wasn't the same man that went to church that night at all. The whole took on a whole new life. A whole new way of living. That's what it means to get into this thing. You got to get into it. You've got to get into it. You cannot dabble with the things of the old life and the old world and the literal things and what it said over there. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things above. Set your affection on things above. Not on things on the earth. We've left those things. We left the old life. That's what we left. The old, what it said about crucifying the old man. Put off all of these things and put on the new man. See, it's a brand new way. Got to get into it. This is where a lot of folks are struggling. This is where a lot of folks are falling by the wayside. God will save anybody. He'll save anybody anywhere that they will repent and ask forgiveness from the heart. God will forgive their sins. But that's just a starting place. That don't mean you're going to heaven. You've got to get into the thing. Amen. You've got to put your heart into it. You've got to put efforts into it. You've got to pray. You've got to deny yourself. The old path. You've got to deny the old life. You've got to deny your old selfish desires. You've got to deny the flesh. Yes. Catering to the flesh. Giving in to our feelings. I see folks just giving in to little old things. Just bowing down under little old things. May the Lord help us tonight. You got to get into it. You got to get into it. You can't go by feelings and you can't go by how good you feel or how bad you feel. How good things are going or how bad things are going. You can't live like that. You got to go live anyway. Get in it. Whole heart. Dive into it. Amen. Over there in Ezekiel, he talked about showing a man there and he just got into about ankle deep or something or another. And he measured again. He went out about knee deep and measured again about thigh deep. But then he said he showed him waters to swim in. That's what you have. You just, when you start out living for God, you just, I like to think about it, used to have an old grapevine you'd swing out over the swimming hole with, and you just get a hold of that old rope and just swing out over that water and just turn loose and drop in. Let hold, let loose of everything, and just fall into the pool. Get in and turn it loose. That's what God, we have to do if we want to serve and be faithful, be successful in living for God. We just have to swing out on the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. And the goodness of God by faith. By faith, launch out. Whoa. If you do this, you'll die. If you trust the Lord, you'll die. If you don't do something about that condition you got, you're going to die. Well, I'm going to die anyway. Everybody dies sometime. I'd rather die trusting the Lord.
Yes,
but you got to just launch out in the deep. Launch out by faith. Just swing out. Turn everything loose. And just get swallowed up in the love of God and in the graces of God and in the things of God. Oh, that's where the victory is. That's where living for God becomes easy. That's where living for God becomes successful. That's where living for God becomes a joy. That's where satisfaction comes. That's where peace of mind comes. That's why you see some folks just living for God year after year, year after year. Just like a rock in a building. Not moved, not moved. They had to get in. Get in. You've got to get into the place. And after you're in, what does it say? Get in and sit down. You got to get in there and sit down. Sit down. You know, I got a little thought a moment ago. You know, that old boat takes off across them there bumpy waves. You know it's dangerous to stand up in a boat? It's dangerous to stand up. And that you get that old boat gets to rocking and bouncing and going there. And I've seen them there waves in the ocean 75 feet high. And seen the ship ride over top of them and seen them run right under them. There was no place to stand around there. You had to sit down. I remember one time we were in a storm and it was so bad you couldn't even sit down at the table and eat. You had to sit down on the deck and put your tray between your legs. That's the only way you could sit still long enough to eat. Dangerous to stand up. Why one of those waves would come along and sweep you off. By standing up, sit down. You got to get in and then find you a place where the Lord wants you to be. See, every saint of God, every saved person needs to know where God wants you to be. You need to find your place in the body of Christ. The Bible said he sets the members in the body that pleases him. But it's up to you and I to find that place where God wants us to be. There's a place. God has a place for every one of us tonight. He has a place prepared. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. I know he might have been talking about something else. But anyway, it's dangerous to stand up. Let old self stand up. Dangerous to defend yourself. Danger to have that old carnal nature that rises up in there. Sit down. Sit down. Too much of you, too much of me on exhibition. Too much of old self sticking out. You ever know any people just every little old thing said while they get offended? That's old self sticking out. They need to get somewhere and sit down. Get a good, saved, and sanctified relationship with God. Amen. And then just find their place in the body, whether it's just praying or reading the word or working and making money and supporting the work of God. There's all kinds of things to do for God besides preaching. Well, preaching is just a little old sideline. But there's a lot. God has something to do for everyone. And God wants you to find your place and sit right down there in your little place that God places you and just sit there and be faithful. Day in and day out and year out. Just sit there obeying God and humbling ourselves before the Lord. Just doing whatever God bids us to do. Ah, that's a good place to be, isn't it? You talk about a place. I see a lot of folks that seem like, I've heard an old saying, some folks just have enough religion to make them miserable. You know, I see a lot of folks sometimes. I see a number of folks that really not enjoying their salvation. You know why? Because they don't have their heart into it. They never have left completely the old life behind. They're trying to cling. I see folks that claim, I say that, I don't like to say those kind of things, but been around for a long time, and still they're reaching out for the things of this world. Just can't get enough of the material things of this old life. They get a lot of things and they want more. Do you know what's the matter in a situation like that? There's still something missing in their relationship with God. What's the song we sang? My soul is satisfied. Amen. I'm convinced in my heart, and I know it so, that there's a place in God where you and I can be contented, where we can sit down and be at peace and be at rest with God. There's a place in God where my life can mean something. My future is bright. My hope is bright. I am satisfied. I am contented. godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible says. Find in that place and sit down. Sit down. You ever say that to? I heard that. I've said that to my own children maybe. Sit down. You're making too much noise. You're interrupting the conversation. You're causing too much confusion. Sit. Would you please sit down? You know, there might be folks like that, isn't it? Causing too much confusion. Talking too much. Or causing upheaval. Sit down. Find that place where God wants us to be. And then just sit down there. And feel our little place in the body. It might just be sweeping the floor. That might be all God wants you to do. Even if you just give a glass of cold water. You won't lose your reward. Just find. It ain't up to me to say where you go, what your job is. But everybody, if you're here tonight and you don't even know what your place is in the body of Christ, I encourage you to seek out the will of God. Because you know, I never did. I never did like to be on a job and not know where my job was. You know? See, what was that? I had an experience one time years ago like that. I went somewhere or another, hard a job, and I didn't know what. They said, wait right here, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited. If I remember, I never did come around. I don't know. I didn't know what they wanted me to do. You know, seemed like that would be kind of confusion. Just kind of wandering around. Want to do something for the Lord, but I don't know what he wants me to do. And I'm just in a state of confusion, in a state of unsettled, not settled in the Lord. Get in. Get in and sit down. Sit down. Find your place and sit down. And when you, Paul said, I bring my body into subjection. I bring it down. Old self rises up sometime. You need to just speak out loud to it. Sit down. Get down. Because it's dangerous to stand up in the boat. You go out over those waves and standing up, you're liable to get thrown out of the boat. You're liable to fall out. You reckon that's why some folks fall by the wayside? You reckon that's why some people make a start and then they go for a while and then they fall off? They didn't get, maybe they really didn't get in, but even if they did, after you get in, you got to sit down. You got to sit down. And then what was the other said? And be quiet. Be quiet. Oh, find that place of quietness in your soul. Find a place of serenity, of solemnity, and a quiet. What did he say? Something about his rest would be glorious. And he said something about quiet resting places. And what is the rest of that? Assurance forever. Righteous and assurance forever. Quiet rest. Peace. Oh, the old song they sang, there'll be peace in the valley someday. Rest. All the Bible says there remaineth a rest to the people of God. Amen. Find that place in God. Your relationship with the Lord. Seek him. Search for him. Reach for him. Look for him. Don't stop praying and seeking until you have found a place of rest and a place of quietness. Quietness and assurance. Forever, I believe it said something like that. Amen. I believe that's in the 32nd chapter, maybe of Isaiah. Let me get back and read that. Yeah. And the works of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen.
Get in, sit down, and be quiet. Find that place where you're quiet in your soul. Where every little old thing that comes along don't just throw you in a upheaval. Every little old thing that don't go my way, I find myself all my feathers, so to speak, all ruffled. God has something better than that. A quiet place in your soul. What did David say there in his psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Find a place in God of quietness, where the storms of life come. I read a little something one time, or heard about it anyway. A man wanted a couple of artists that draws pictures. He wanted them to draw him a picture that represented quietness and restfulness and serenity. And so one of the artists, he painted a nice picture. Oh, it was a meadow out here with the trees and that nice clear stream going down through it. Big clover about knee-high blooming and blowing in the breeze, and the cattle kind of mowing around out in there. Oh, it was an ideal and beautiful setting. This one artist drew that. The other artist, he drew a picture of a great waterfall coming down with great splashing and noise. You ever been to Niagara Falls? It's a lot of noise and waters raging and beating upon the rocks. And this man drew a great waterfall, and then right behind this big waterfall, up on the side of the rock there, he drew a little bird. Little bird sitting on his nest. And he was sitting there just as contented as he could be. That was a real scene of restfulness and peacefulness. That little old bird just sit there with all that turmoil and all that water pounding up on those rocks and the roaring and the splashing. And there the little bird sit quiet and content. Of course, that's the one that he chose as the winner. That's what God. See, if you and I are looking for a peaceful place out here somewhere, if we're looking for ideal situations in life, we'll never find them. We have an adversary, the devil. But I want to tell you, there is a place in God where you can be quiet. Right while the storms are raging. Right while the pain is raging in your body. There's still a place of quietness in God. God has a place right in the most trying situations that you and I will ever face. There's a place in God of quietness and confidence and assurance that I can sit there and I can face opposition. I can face the strife of tongues. I can be persecuted. I can be, what did Paul say? If you, the prophet, a prophet has said, ever who this share girdle belongs to, when they go over there, they're going to have some problems over there. And Paul said, none of these things move me. Don't move me. Why are you weeping, troubled about this? I'm not only willing to suffer, but I'm willing to die also. Found a quietness. You remember the story about the old ship was out there on the sea, and it was a raging, and it was a rolling and a rocking. And where was Jesus at? He was laying back there asleep. Laying there with a pillar under his head, just sleeping away. And a thing that looked like, and all the disciples who hadn't found that place of quietness yet. They had not. They had not found that place of rest and quietness and assurance. They hadn't found it yet. Oh, Master, wake up. Don't you care if we perish? Oh, ye of little faith, he said. And he rose and rebuked the wind, and there was a great calm. Right in the storm, there's a place in God where you can have peace right in the storm. And I'm going to say this, until you and I find that place, we're going to be in an upheaval time and time and time and time again. We're going to be restless. We're going to be fretting. We're going to be worried. And when things go wrong, we're going to go wrong. If we don't find that quietness and resting place in God. I know the folks over home, they kind of get after me, some of them do, used to anyway, because I didn't. They think I didn't take things serious. Well, I think I'm serious, but ain't no need to get excited about something you can't do nothing about. So just be quiet about it. I remember Sharon and Diane one time, we had a flood came, and they lived right beside the creek, and they called me about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went up there, and the water's already running under the trailer, and they wanted to get out, so we waded out, got them out, and waded them out. And, oh, they were so troubled. They were so troubled. I said, well, I'll tell you, Sharon, I said, if this trailer washes away, I said, it'll stop right against that bridge down there. There's a bridge down there. I said, it won't go under that bridge. It'll stop right there. Well, maybe that little on the funny side. But I believe there's a place. There's a place in there. God wants us to find a place where we can find that quietness in our spirit, soul. Find that assurance. What did he say? Hope and assurance forever. Forever. Oh, thank the Lord.
Amen.
Said here, in the works of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Listen to me. Until you and I get to the place that we can be resting and have peace in the time of storm, we ain't got what God wants us to have yet. You will never have. Anybody can rest when it's all over. But right while it's going on, and you're fighting that battle, and you're resting in the Lord.
Yes.
You can still face death. You can face death. You can face disappointments. You can face trials. You can face opposition. And there's a place in God where you can rest right in that. Not after it's over, but right into it. There's a place where you can find peace.
That's true.
Right in the time. God has that for us tonight. Get in. Sit down and be quiet. Get real quiet. You know, I had a little thought a minute ago about that, riding in that boat. I could see myself taking a ride on a speedboat. Visualize myself taking a ride. And the sign said, get in, sit down, be quiet, and hold on. And you know, I got to thinking, if you don't be quiet, you can't hear the man that's given the orders. You know, the captain of the ship, he gives orders, you know. But if you're not quiet, see the waters, these little boats are going, and there's quite a bit of noise around. But if you're not quiet, if you're talking, and you're all out of sorts, and maybe throwing a little temper tantrum or something other, you won't hear what he has to say. See, you've got to be quiet before you can hear what the Lord has to say. You won't hear him. He speaks. You know the time back there, it said there was a great wind and there was a great fire and there was a great earthquake. And it said God wasn't in those things. But there was a small, still voice. I could see my vision, myself a little while ago. Here I am in this boat. I finally got in. But I'm standing up. And I'm a hooping and a hollering and a carrying on. And I'm subject to get washed overboard. And I know, with all that noise and speed, I won't be. If the man's in charge of the boat, if he tries to say something, I won't hear what he has to say. So I've got to get quiet. We've got to get quiet. If you're in an upheaval in your soul tonight, anybody here, I encourage you to seek a quietness with God.
Amen.
And the way you do that is to get along with God. Get along with God. And in that solemn, what's the song said? There is a blessed pavilion, a secret inner court, a place of God's own dwelling with all the world shut out. That's what you've got to do. You young folks, you've got to get along with God. If you don't get along with God, you just as well, you're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. You're going to get washed overboard. Something's going to come along, going to slay you. That's where, what the song say, all my strength I draw from Jesus. By his breath, I live and move. There's no use. You never will be spiritual. You never will be settled. You never will be established. You never will find that place of quietness and rest unless you get quiet and get along with Jesus. All we have, we're taught to pray, and we do pray. We have our prayers of the morning and different things, and that's good. But nothing. Going to church, reading the Bible, which is all important, but nothing, let me encourage you tonight, nothing will ever take the place or fulfill your life like being alone with God. You must find you a place where you have secret prayer. Pray to him in secret, and he'll reward you openly. You've got to do it. This is why we here in these days we're living in, and I'm not a critic of the saints, people of God, but we hear them talking about what so-and-so used to be. What old brother so-and-so, or old sister so-and-so, had so much victory, and they had so much, they were such an inspiration, they were such a blessing. I wonder why. It wasn't them. It's because they had got in and they had sit down and they'd found a place of quietness in God. It's because if you've ever seen a real spiritual man or woman, I guarantee that person spent a lot of time alone with God. I guarantee it. Praying man. I've seen men that faced all kinds of things and never even, their blood pressure didn't even go up. They didn't even turn red in the face. Opposition, somebody talking about them, criticized them, running them down, defying them right face to face. I've seen them as calm and collected as they could be. I know when I see somebody like that, I know that person has been spending a lot of quiet time. Quiet time. I don't know how much this fella I read about. I don't know what kind of relationship that he had with God. I mean, his personal relationship with God. But he was a man that was a high up in a company. Had a high profile, high pressure job. But the man seemed to always have a quietness about him. He seemed to always be in control of himself under stress and strain and other men. That's why a lot of men have heart attacks under those pressure jobs. But this man was a high man up in the world, in the industrial world. But he always seemed to have everything in control, quiet. So that finally somebody got so curious about it, and they finally asked him, "How do you do it? How in the world do you maintain that kind of quietness and that kind of an attitude under so much pressure?" Well, he told them. He said, "I've got a room." I guess he's a man of means, could afford it. He said, "I've got one room in my house." And he said, "I don't have a thing in that room but a chair and a desk, a little small desk and a chair. That's all I've got in that whole room." And he said, "Every evening when I go home from work, I go in that room and I sit down and I get quiet before God, prayer and meditation and reading the Bible." He has that room set aside, just nothing else. The story said, not another piece of furniture in it or nothing. Just a room dedicated to getting along and sitting and be quiet before God. Well, I don't know. I can't doubt the man's story. If you did that, it'd work. It would work. Well, we may not be able to have a room, but we certainly need a place. Yes. We certainly need a place. Might be out in the barn or down the basement or upstairs. Or you need a place away from the telephone. Take the thing off on the hook. Take the telephone off on the hook. If it's important, they'll call back. Most calls ain't too important anyway. So, but if it's something important, they'll call back. And just find a place. I like to get. I live in a place where I can get away from everything. I love to walk back into the woods. I love to walk back in the woods. Get along with God. One time here, years ago, over there at home, there's right in back of my house, there's a pretty steep hill. I don't think I can even get up there now with my leg like it is. But it's very steep. An old graveyard back there. So I went up there one day, and I just felt like I needed to be alone with God for a while. And I got up there, and I was walking down a little ridge-like there, coming down. It's a beautiful place, pine trees and things. And I'm walking down this ridge here. Well, I thought, I'll have prayer while I'm here. So there's no log there, so I got down by the log, and I was praying, meditating, looking to God. And you know, all of a sudden, everything was so still. Everything was so quiet. And it was so awesome that I stopped praying. And I looked up the little hill there, and the leaves on the trees began just kind of waving a little bit. And it seemed like there was just something coming right down that little ridge there like. And it was a quietness. And I got up. I stood up. When I stood up, and I looked up that way, and when I did, I fell down on my knees and bowed my face to the ground. I just automatically did that. I don't know. It was quite an experience. But you've got to get along with God. See, you have to have this quiet time with the Lord. We must have those personal visits from God. Now, we live by faith, and we don't live on those great outstanding experiences all the time. But we must have been somehow or another. Maybe yours won't be that outstanding. But you have to know that you've been in contact with God. You have to know that. And when you once have what we used to call it praying through, but when you've once actually been actually intimately relationship with God, then it does something for you. It's something that stays with you. And you can walk right downtown in a big old hustle bustle with a whistling or humming a good song on your heart. I find myself just going along humming a song or whistling. I find myself whistling a lot and I don't even know I'm whistling. But this must be quiet. Get in, sit down, and be quiet.
Yes.
Well, the other one said, hold on. Hold on. I noticed in those boats. The ship that I was on during the war that I told you about was in the big storm. It was in that storm for 3 days, 4th of July, 1944. 3rd and the 4th, the 5th of July. You don't forget those kind of experiences. And that ship lacked only 3 degrees. If I remember right, there was some destroyers like I was on. Some of them turned over. They lost some of them at sea. The one I was on, they said, went over like 3 degrees. I'm going all the way over. Just like a little bit being on its side. And you was not allowed outside. You know, they had a passageway that went down the outside on the ship. And then they had an inward passageway that went right down on the inside of the ship. And you know the only way you could get down there in no storm from one end of the ship to the other or wherever you were going. They had a cable overhead. And you got a hold of a little handle there like, and you held onto that thing. You ever been on a ship bucking like a horse? You don't stand very much. You don't stand up unless you're holding on to something. You've got to hold on. So God has given you and I something to hold on to.
Yes, amen.
Get His word in your heart, and then you can hold on to it. Get His Spirit alive and working in our souls. And I'd go down that inward passage there. I remember one night there, some of the, we'd call it offense in civilian life. They called it railing on the board ship. But some of the railing wire broke loose, and it was dragging in the water. And the officer of the day, he wasn't the captain, he was just officer in charge. He sent a guy out in that storm to pull that thing in. And boy, did he ever get eat out the next day. The captain really got him for sending the man out in that storm, you know, like that. But they had these little things you hold on to. Hold on to. You know, some of these cars, they got a little hold up there, you know, hold on. And trains, I remember you used to ride a train, you know, and the things you hold on to. And so, get in, sit down, find that quiet place, and just get a good grip on the thing, and just hold right to it. Hold right to it. How long am I going to hold on? I'm going to hold till Jesus comes. I'm going to hold it till it's over. Came to me out there at Monarch. I preached a little message about seeking the Lord, or I forget now even what it was, but anyway, seeking. And I thought about how long should I wait on the Lord? I'm standing on your word, Lord. I'm holding on, Lord. How long should I hold on? I'm going to hold on till His word comes to pass. Till He fulfills His promise. I'm going to hold on. So get in, sit down, get quiet, and just get a hold of something good. Get a hold of His word. There's over 3,600 promises in this New Testament. Get a hold of those promises. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll guide your step even unto death. Just the other night, holding a man's hand, seeing how God came, fulfilled his promise to that good man of God, stood by him in his suffering. Never a time, he said, when he was gotten real bad that God didn't give him relief. And then I watched him. Then God came when he's suffering and when he was facing the last hour of his life. God came, quieted him real down. His breathing got real quiet and almost normal. And then he just run down. One breath get a little shorter than the other. A little shorter. Finally, he just breathed his last breath. Promises. That's what we want to hold on to. Get a hold of a little promise of God. One of old had said he wouldn't be afraid to swing out over hell. He'd just get his little finger hooked into one of the promises of God. Get a hold of the promises of God. Read the Bible. Study the promises of God. Every time you read something in there that has a promise to it, stop. Don't see how much you can read. I've heard people say, I've read the Bible through so many times. I don't have any quarrel with that. But I get more out of it just when I find something good. Just stop. Stop and search it out. Look it up. I get more good out of it that way. Just, what's that mean? Start running references and digging into it. It gets interesting now. You know, you read and the first thing you know, you're going to sleep, you know. But by finding something good in the Word of God. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I won't allow anything to come upon you that you're not able to bear. See those good promises of God. When you get a hold of one of God's promises, just hold on to it. And when you can't get an answer from God, just hold on to it anyway. And if it goes for a week, hold on. If it goes for a year, hold on. Because his promise can't fail. Two immutable things. It's impossible for God to lie. And it's impossible for one of his promises to fail. Impossible. It's impossible for God's promise to fail. Get a hold of his promises and hold on. Well, I don't know if you've heard a preacher preaching from a sign he's seen. But God speaks in many different ways, doesn't he? Get in. Sit down. Get quiet and hold on. And one day it'll all be over. We'll go be with the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.
Amen.
I'd like to say that maybe you don't have that place. But if you have got in and you're saved and you're sanctified, you put in for sanctification, feel like the God done that for you, then by submitting and yielding to that Spirit,
yes,
will lead you into that kind of place.
Yes, so.
See, it don't mean you don't have it.
No.
There's been a little misunderstanding left, I think, in some messages I've heard that says, well, if this, you do this or so, well, you don't have it.
No.
But see, the Holy Spirit leads us as we yield ourselves.
Yes, so.
And as, see, some folks get the idea if I get saved and sanctified that all this is just going to happen automatically.
No.
It don't work that way.
No.
But the Holy Spirit leads us into quiet.
Amen.
Places.
Amen.
As we yield ourselves and follow the leadings of God's Spirit.
Amen.
And obey Him and spend time alone with Him and read His Word.
So.
Then that will lead us into a more settled, established relationship.
Amen.
With God.
That's all.
Don't mean if you're having a struggle, you're not able to be quiet, just as quiet as you'd like to be when things get rough, then that don't necessarily mean that you're not sanctified.
No, no, it
don't. Doesn't necessarily mean that at all.
No.
Well, you can be saved and sanctified, and you're just as human as you was before you got saved.
That's so.
And you will be that way.
That's so.
But this life we're trying to talk about tonight, we're led into that.
Yes.
As we humble ourselves and walk in truth and walk in life, then that leads us into a relationship.
Yes, amen.
The devil likes to say, well, if you were sanctified, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't feel the way you feel if you were sanctified. That's not necessarily so.
No, that's so.
Sometimes it is so, but not necessarily so.
No.
Because, like I said, the Holy Spirit is given to us. What did he say? When he's come, he would lead us and guide us.
Yes, that's so.
And to all the truth.
Amen.
So don't let the devil, if you, that one said, hold on. If you feel like God has saved you and sanctified you, you hold on.
Yes, amen.
You hold on.
Yes,
God,
so.
You say, well, the devil makes me, well, I don't know if I'm sanctified or not. Well, I tell you how to defeat the devil. Go before the Lord in earnest prayer, quiet before God, and say, Lord, I'm testifying to being saved and sanctified. And Lord, if I'm not, if I really not, if I missed it somewhere, I want you, Lord, to reveal that to me. I want
yes,
you to show
amen.
Me. Show me. Reveal yourself to me so I'll know. I want to know. I'm honest. I'm sincere. I want
yes.
to know.
Amen.
And God said if we lack anything, he would reveal to you this unto us.
That's so.
And what am I going to do if God don't show me anything? Nothing that I should do, just going to hold on.
Amen.
Lord, I'm coming before you, Lord, just like I asked.
Yes.
If you don't show me where to change, I'm coming just the way I asked.
That's so.
But if, Lord, if you help me to see what I need to do, I'll do it.
Yes, amen.
And you can defeat the devil. You can run him right out of your heart.